There's a campaign on social media currently under the hashtag MeToo. It's women coming forward to tell their stories of sexual assault and violence. For decades, Alaska has been at or near the top of the list in the nation for violence against women. We're discussing why today and what all Alaskans can do to help lower the rate and make our state a safer, better place for everyone. The work to end a terrible statistic is our discussion today on Talk of Alaska Statewide.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Alaska Housing Finance Corporation reminds you that winter is almost here, and that means higher energy bills. On October 25th, AHFC is offering Secrets and Science of Energy Efficiency, a free class about the value of energy improvements at home. Learn best practices and money-saving tips. Learn more and register at Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's website at ahfc.us. This message sponsored by AHFC.
Support for public radio comes from the communities we serve. Whether you give as an individual member or through your business, know that your contribution makes possible programming that informs, inspires, and entertains. We thank you for the role you play. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters.
Hello, it's Talk of Alaska. I'm Lori Townsend. It's October, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So what does that mean to you? Are you reminded this time of year to talk to your kids about respectful behavior? What is acceptable and what is not? Do you know where to go for resources if you need help yourself or you want to help someone else? We've got two people in the studio today who can assist in that quest. Julie Dale is the manager of prevention and education for STAR, Standing Together Against Rape. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Lori.
Thanks for being here today. And also in the studio is Susie Pearson. Susie is the executive director of AWAKE, Abused Women's Aid in Crisis. Hello, Susie.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. You can also join our conversation. Have you seen the Me Too campaign online? Do you work within your family or community to help educate and support respectful treatment for women, girls, and everyone? Give us a call, 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-8255. If you're calling in Anchorage, the number is 550-8422. 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. I want to start with the work that both of you do and have a better understanding of that. I also wanted to let people know that if you go to our website, alaskapublic.org, there's more information there. There's also a link to my own Facebook post about my own story. So you can go see that if you want to under the hashtag MeToo. Julie, for listeners who are unfamiliar with STAR, Standing Together Against Rape, tell us about the organization and how you work to support women.
Absolutely. Thank you. So STAR, we are the local rape crisis center here in Anchorage, and we provide support to survivors and supporters of survivors of sexual violence. That can look like a wide variety of services. We have advocates and counselors who help support people who have disclosed that they've been harmed. So we're part of a team that helps keep people's bodies safe. We also have our prevention and education department, where our main goal is the primary prevention of power-based personal violence. And that also looks like a wide variety of conversations that we have in the community with children, with professionals, with families, just to help and bring some action and provide support.
Do you provide assistance to men?
Absolutely. Yes, this is not just a problem that impacts women. This is a community issue. And we provide a wide variety of services to men as well. Men who themselves have been harmed by sexual violence, as well as men who are supporting people who have been harmed.
Susie, the same question to you. Tell us about AWAKE, Abused Women's Aid in Crisis.
AWAKE actually has a continuum of services. Our focus is, of course, supporting victims of domestic violence, and our core purpose really is our emergency shelter. It's a 52-bed shelter. It is the only emergency shelter for victims of domestic violence in a community of 300,000. So, and we are consistently at or over capacity, about 50% in the past past decade. We've really experienced a considerable increase in the demand for services, but we really want to see somebody move towards a violence-free life and where they're able to protect themselves and their family. So in that continuum of services of the shelter itself, we also have a 24-hour crisis line. We have a program that helps people get into safe permanent housing. We have a program that helps with our transitional housing. We have a 10-bed transitional housing facility and also an emergency financial assistance. We have multiple groups available for people who are victims or are survivors and needing support. And we do have both. We provide both shelter and groups for male victims.
And do you? Is it a situation where a family in crisis can come in as a family? Is it women and their children, or is it just women?
Our shelter is for women and children, and we have children all the way up to age 18. As long as they're under their mom's guardianship, then they're able to come into shelter, both male and female children.
If you're just joining us, today's discussion on Talk of Alaska is ending domestic violence and sexual assault in Alaska. Alaska has chronically high numbers in that regard and has for many decades. We want to end that. You can join our conversation at 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK. That's statewide. In Anchorage, the number is 550-8422, 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. Julie, you mentioned that STAR this time of year does a lot of work in schools. Tell us about that. What are you doing?
So we present in kindergarten through 12th grade here in the Anchorage School District. Our main focus is on K through 6, and we have conversations with kiddos about personal body safety. We are encouraging a common language between parents, children, and the school district, so they have a three-tier support approach. If something is happening to them, they know where to go. They know who to talk to. They know what behaviors are okay and what behaviors are not okay when it comes to talking about their personal body boundaries. It's a very age-appropriate conversation. It's received really well by children. It's not scary. It's very empowering for youth. And so it's really, you know, giving them skills to identify safe and unsafe behaviors. And I, like I said, who to go or who to talk to if something unsafe is happening. We offer them our crisis line number, just like we offer that phone number to adults. So if they end up with questions or conversations, or they want to give that as a resource to their parents, which they often do, that's a tool that we give them as well.
Do you ever have pushback from parents about it?
You know, not very often. And the occasions that we have had parents who push back, it's when their kiddos go home and they tell their parents what they've talked about, what they've learned. And the parents might call with some concerns. But after a conversation with them, identifying that we're there to support their children and that we're there to support them, they're very thankful. They're very happy that we're in schools. And, you know, that the pushback comes very minimally. More often we get calls constantly thanking us for doing what we do in schools from parents and protective adults.
What kind of questions do students ask?
Oh my goodness. Students ask all kinds of questions. So initially we start this conversation with, you know, where your bathing suit covers. So identifying the private parts of their body and that no matter where someone touches their body, that they have the right to say no if it makes them feel unsafe or uncomfortable. And so youth will often, you know, ask us questions about, well, what about bath time with my parents? And we identify when clean or healthy touches are okay if no one is asking them to keep those a secret. So we talk a lot about safe and unsafe secrets with families and parents, and then how to go home and have this conversation with their protective adults. So it's very empowering.
All right, let's go to the phones for a moment. Janelle is in Palmer. Hi, Janelle.
Hi.
Did you have a question or a comment?
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Did you have
Hello?
A question or a comment?
Just thank you for the opportunity and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to thank the people that are on your panel currently for the work that they're doing to help shed light on this epidemic here in Alaska. And I just wanted to take a second, if I can, to let people know one thing that's happening in the Valley to try to prevent domestic violence and sexual assault. I'm part of the Wasilla Sunrise Rotary Club, and we're in the fourth year of a decade-long local adoption of a national campaign called NoMore.org. the name of our local adoption is No More Matsu. And your talk is very timely, actually, because at our Rotary meeting today, we always have guest presenters, and today we had Rachel Granat, who is a member of the club, but has been prosecuting domestic violence and sexual assault cases for many, many years here in Alaska. So she came to speak about what's currently happening in the area of domestic violence and sexual assault across the state, but also in the Valley, how things have actually improved a little bit, and the work that she's done with the school district here in the Valley in terms of curriculum, dating violence curriculum.
How long have you been part of this No More campaign?
Well, I've been involved.
I mean, the Rotary,
pretty much,
I'm sorry.
Since my family moved to Alaska a little less than 2 years ago, but we're in the fourth year of what we've pledged to be a.
Hello, welcome back to Talk of Alaska. I'm so sorry for the technical problems we were having there. We're hoping that we've got the problem resolved now, and you can join our conversation. We've been trying to have a conversation today about ending domestic violence in Alaska. My guests are Julie Dale, the Manager of Prevention and Education for STAR, Standing Together Against Rape. And also in the studio is Susie Pearson. She is the executive director of AWAKE, Abused Women's Aid in Crisis, AWAKE. So you can join our conversation if you'd like to. Our number statewide is 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-TALK. If you're calling in Anchorage, it's 550-8422, 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. Julie and Susie, I wanted to get back to, before we were interrupted by some technical problems, we had a caller on the line, Janelle, who was talking about a program that they have, that they're part of now, a national campaign, No More. Julie said, in the Matsu Valley, it's nomorematsu.org. One of the things that she said that stood out to me was she likened the sexual assault and domestic violence rate in Alaska to an epidemic. We know that Alaska is chronically at the high end, if not at the top in the nation. It's very near the top and has been for decades. What do we know about why? Why does Alaska have these high rates? What contributes to it? We don't have a lot of the problems that other places that have high rates have. We have a higher level of education, a higher level of pay for the most part. What's contributing to these rates? What's known about that? Who wants to take that?
I'm going to let Julie start.
Susie and I look at each other.
Yes.
You know, that's actually a conversation that we have had on many, many occasions. And unfortunately, all we can do is speculate as to why these rates are so high. You know, with that speculation, there's so many things and things that can contribute to domestic violence and sexual violence, although they're not the root cause. Domestic violence and sexual violence are things that people are doing to gain power and control. And, you know, so when we look at why our rates are so high, it's just too vast of a problem to gain why this is happening. Again, like I said, we can speculate as to all of these contributions. And one that we can kind of narrow down, I feel pretty confident in saying, is that we're living in a society that is sort of complacent when we're talking about power-based personal violence. And I feel so often that people feel like this is just part of reality. This is just part of life. And it doesn't have to be, and it shouldn't be. You know, and that's really all that we can kind of come up with.
Right.
Susie?
Well, everything that Julie said is very true. We do not have the information and statistics that can clarify exactly why Alaska has such high rates. But it does come back to the core of domestic violence, sexual assault. It's always, always about power and control. So when we're discussing those issues, power and control comes to wanting to ensure that as a perpetrator, that the victim is doing what they want. And I think oftentimes the conversation goes away from what is, you know, we don't hold abusers accountable. And that's a significant issue. There's not as many resources that oftentimes that the court system is pushing this aside and saying, oh, anger management is the answer. And that's not the answer. The answer is to change the culture of our community so that violence is unacceptable.
How large is the scope of the problem, do you think? Almost every woman I've ever discussed this issue with has a story in this regard. From smaller encounters with someone acting sleazy or saying rude things to sexual assault and rape, what do you think the real numbers really are?
I think that the UAA Justice Center has done some really incredible research in our state, which has been able to be piecemealed into each community. And what we're seeing is that at least 50% of women throughout the state of Alaska have experienced domestic violence and or sexual assault in their lifetimes. So that means that when you turn to your right, turn to your left, the woman that you're talking to, there's a very good chance that she's experienced domestic violence or sexual assault.
And probably the numbers are even higher than that. 50% seems low to me, actually, based on just anecdotal conversations that I've had with women throughout my lifetime. Let's go back to the phones for a moment. If you're just joining us, welcome back. We were having some technical trouble, but we're all good now. And we are talking today about ending domestic violence and sexual assault in Alaska, these horrifically high numbers that we've had in this state for far too long. You can go to our website and see that the Me Too campaign that's on social media inspired me to repost my own story, and that's linked at our website, alaskapublic.org, to my Facebook page. Leah is in Ketchikan. Hello.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I am currently a master's student, social work student at UAA. I'm glad to hear about the UAA Justice Center's taking the proper awareness for domestic violence and sexual assault. I want to commend you on that. One of the questions I have, I'm trying to figure out where to start. In terms of, I know there was a discussion about prevention and training in schools to prevent domestic violence and sexual assault. One of the things I wanted to find out is, I know that the Association of Alaska School Boards, the state model has is no longer on the website, and I don't know if there's a possibility that we can, you know, get a hold of that that model in regards to, you know, bullying and preventing school bullying and assault in the schools. I don't know if any one of you can be able to send that link or link to the website. So that would be my first question.
I'm not sure
question.
About... Okay, go ahead. I'm not sure about link,
sorry.
But go ahead.
Okay, so I know there's like a big concern too, not just in rural communities like Ketchikan or Nome or smaller places, but like in bigger places, I know that Anchorage and Fairbanks and Juneau probably have a little bit more resources than some of the rural communities in Alaska. In terms of like access to resources or access to safety. And I know there's been a movement in getting those, having preventive education and training, you know, available for schools, for the community, you know, for, I mean, as far as like even for like a custodian at the school, you know, kind of keeping their eye out for any potential bullying that's happening, you know, on the buses or at the bus stops or playgrounds, et cetera. How many schools you think in the state are having these types of programs that are being implemented? And if so, what steps are you think school policies are being in place to prevent, you know, bullying?
Well, that's
more and more now that kids have access to cell phones. You know, I can see like an increase of those increase of cyberbullying.
Yes, that's clearly an issue. And I don't know that Julie or Susie have the numbers of schools that have programs implemented across the state. I know that the two of you, I'm sure, as you mentioned, Julie, earlier, you work a lot in the schools this time of year and work with students. Do you have information? I know that there are some other great organizations in rural Alaska communities. Women's Tundra Coalition is one of them that comes immediately to mind. There's others out there that are doing programs in rural communities with very limited resources. Can you speak, either one of you, speak to what's going on out there?
Well, I can tell you that one thing that the state legislators did pass a couple of years ago was a Breeze Law. And Breeze Law required that school districts implement a K-12 program that talked about healthy relationships, dating violence, and school districts had the opportunity to opt in, not opt out.
Yeah.
So my understanding is that the school district, you know, had... They could say that we aren't able to implement that due to cost or whatever. I can tell you that the Anchorage School District is implementing that. I don't know about the school district that covers the Ketchikan area.
Sure. Anything to add?
The same information that I have. Thank you, Susie.
All right. Well, let's move on. If you'd like to join our conversation in our final 15 minutes, 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK is the number statewide. In Anchorage, it's 550-8422, 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. We're discussing the high rates of sexual assault, domestic violence, and murder of women in Alaska, and the rates that have been so chronically high for very, very long, and how we can all work to lower those numbers. There's an online campaign, a social media campaign, following after the revelations about Harvey Weinstein in Hollywood and his aberrant, horrible behavior, and allegations of that horrible behavior, and women coming forward telling their own stories under the hashtag MeToo. And there is a link to my own story on our website, alaskapublic.org, to Facebook. John is in Juneau and joins us now. Hi, John.
Hello. How are you going?
Good.
Good. Thanks for calling.
So what I'm calling about is you were asking about what is the cause of all this problem. And I've lived in Alaska for 50 years, and it took 30 years before I heard the statistic that Alaska is number one in the rate of rape per capita in the nation. Well, I heard the same thing the next year and the year after that. And in the meantime, I also heard we're number one in the United States in rate of child sexual assault. These are both things that I personally could not do, okay? I could not rape somebody. I could not assault a child sexually. So it tells me that there's something about people who can do these things that's different than me. And I started trying to figure out what it is because I'm a biologist and I've studied animal behavior. And I found out, first of all, the rate is incredible. The rate in the United States is about 1 in 4 women are raped by the time they're 32 or something like that. In Alaska, nobody will tell you what the rate is because nobody wants to be held to a particular number. They'll say it's twice the rate. Well, twice the rate in the United States is 1 in 4, so that's 1 in 2. That's half of all the women in the senior class in the high school. We don't know we have the problem that we have. Okay, then the next thing about Alaska, we have the highest rate of alcohol consumption in the nation, the highest rates of alcoholism, and the highest rate of fetal alcohol, FASD, fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, which is damage to fetal brains, to children's brains from their mothers drinking alcohol. And that gives you, this is about 200 per thousand, I think, that's diagnosed. But it's a very tricky diagnosis. Anyway, people who are affected by fetal brain damage are easily abused because they want to please people. They have bad people skills. They don't have much empathy for things. So they grow up in a culture where they are getting abused, and they probably, because Alaska has all this abuse going on, we have the highest rates of domestic violence in the nation, too. And so
it's
we're
all,
in this culture where all these terrible childhood experiences are happening. Abusers, people who are abused become abusers. Anyway, I guess that's what I'm trying to say is I don't think we're even getting at the problem. We are working with victims, and the rates continue.
Thank you, John, for those well-articulated thoughts. We're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, more on our discussion about ending domestic violence and sexual assault in Alaska on Talk of Alaska.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Did you know while exposed to secondhand smoke, every breath you take can damage your heart? Cells lining blood vessels become swollen and inflamed. Plaque builds narrowing blood vessels, and clots can form, robbing the heart of oxygen. Exposure to secondhand smoke increases your heart disease risk by up to 30%. It's your heart, protect it. This message sponsored by Alaska's Tobacco Quitline, 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
Would you like to play an integral part to what you're listening to? Public media is designed for and made possible by the communities it serves. If you are already a member or corporate sponsor, we thank you. If you'd like to become a member or sponsor, it's really easy. Start with a call to this station or visit us at our website.
It's Talk of Alaska. Let's get some response to John's call about victims and some of what he's attributing to our high rates. Julie.
Absolutely. Thank you, John, for your insight. At STAR and in Anchorage and throughout the state of Alaska, there is a huge focus on prevention. We identify that prevention is key. Providing services to people who have been harmed is absolutely important, but our goal is to have less and less people that need services, and the primary prevention is the key. You were talking about youth who have been harmed and that contributing to our rates of sexual violence and power-based personal violence. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the ACEs study. That's the Adverse Childhood Experiences study, and it is identified that youth who have higher ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, are more prone to health problems, drug and alcohol abuse problems in the future, chronic health problems, joblessness, homelessness. And when we can start preventing children from being harmed in the first place through either sexual violence or domestic violence, it's going to start impacting our society, and we can see a reduction in these numbers. John, you mentioned the fetal alcohol syndrome problem in Alaska. That's not something necessarily that STAR or AWAKE directly works with, but that is 100% preventable.
Yes.
And that's prevention as well. And that's primary prevention also. So broadening these conversations, providing that information, education, and support to parents and families, not just children. It is ultimately an adult's responsibility to prevent children from child sexual abuse. And the more adults that we have that are having these conversations with their children and with their schools and with their co-parents,
and watching out for each other and
absolutely
each other's kids.
You got it.
The take a village thing might, you know, has been tossed around too much, but it's true.
It
takes everyone
true.
Acting honorably, watching out for kids who are vulnerable, and helping them be safe.
You got
Let's
it.
Go quickly to one last phone call. Carol is in Anchorage. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I'm so glad you took my call, and I totally agree with John. I believe our challenges, especially with our youth, are systematic. The alcohol abuse, the suicide rate, these children are coming into a world where from the very get-go they see that things are not the way that they have trusted them to be. And I honestly believe at this point in time it's the most dangerous in our history, because we have a commander-in-chief, a so-called president, who seems to support this kind of behavior. So we're giving children double messages, and I'd like to see that addressed. So thank you.
Thank you so much for your call and for succinctly laying that out there. And, you know, we only have a very few minutes left, and I want us to end on a note of action. What can people do? What's working from your perspectives? You're doing this work every day. What helps? What campaigns should people be involved in? What should they do? How can they help? Susie?
Well, the one thing that we sort of talked about and touched on is that the only way that we can stop this is through us taking individual action. And sometimes we're not going to see that immediately. This takes a generation. This takes a culture change. And I think with each person, I think people are really afraid to get involved still in, you know, calling this family violence. It's not my problem. And that is simply not true. Each person can do something. You shouldn't be afraid to call the police. You shouldn't be afraid to ask somebody for support. Kids should not feel afraid to talk to the safe teacher or the safe parent or somebody who can give them that help and support. And oftentimes, even out in a bar or when you're out in public, it's don't let it go past. Actually say something to someone. And that makes a difference. It really does. Because you have no idea whether or not that person just had an intervention that made them safer that night. Mm-hmm. You made a difference.
And Julie, what would you like to want to add to that?
I echo everything Susie just said. This is a community issue. This is something that our whole society needs to take a step back, look at, and find where your place is. You do have a role in preventing sexual violence and domestic violence, regardless of who you are, what you're doing. And I want to identify real quick that there are more good people than that are doing harm. We outnumber the people that are harming. And if we look at that and we talk about what we can do to prevent this, have conversations, take that action, contact STAR, contact Awake, call us, call our crisis line. If you want a resource in your community, we will help connect you to that resource. Utilize what you have right here, right now. Start making that change. It can happen.
And do you think, we've got about a minute left, do you think, we heard from John in Juneau, but do you think this is still characterized or considered too much of a woman's problem rather than a societal everyone's problem?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very loudly, yes. This is, women are still the primary victims in all sexual assaults, mm-hmm. as well as domestic violence, that women are also the ones that are expected to take care of the problem, to leave the situation, to not dress like that. It's very frustrating as a woman to hear that you want me to change all of my behaviors to stop from being sexually assaulted. And I think for me, it's that person that needs to stop making the choice to use violence to control me.
It's also insulting to the majority of men who are good mm-hmm. and honorable people that somehow they can't control themselves
right.
if someone dresses a certain way or something. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. Thank you so much to both of you. We are going to reschedule and have you back so we can have a full hour's discussion
Fantastic.
On this issue. Thanks to Julie Dale, Manager of Prevention and Education for STAR, and Susie Pearson, Executive Director of Awake. I'm Lori Townsend. We'll be back next week.
Today's program is underwritten in part by
ExxonMobil Alaska, whose goal is safe and responsible operations of the Point Thompson facility. ExxonMobil Energy lives here. The Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education offers the Family Education Loan so parents, a spouse, or grandparents can help students with the cost of college or training programs in or outside of Alaska. Interest rates are lower than the Federal Plus, and no credit is required. For more information, call 800-441-2962 or visit acpe.alaska.gov/radio. This message sponsored by the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education.
One of the greatest honors for a public media station is delivering on its promise to provide quality programming and services to the communities it serves. What you hear on air is the result of a dedicated team working together to bring you the best. It's a privilege to be a part of your day. Thank you for listening, for your feedback, and for your support. This program is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters.